when I thought about today's refresher day on being a sage at peace, which is a title I gave to the retreat a year ago at this time, I wondered if I had anything new to say. Well, it's not so much that I have anything new to say, but this practice is infinitely giving of possibility and ideas. And so what came up for me was around silence, slowing, and stillness. And these three S words came up. And then as I pondered them a bit, it was about softly silencing, softly slowing, softly stilling. So kind of taking those three words into verbs and remembering the soft part of it. And then the later, the word simple and simplicity came up, but now we've got too many words and it's not so simple anymore, so let's leave that. I think when we come in to our retreat day, we have some pretty high expectations, or we can anyway, we can have high expectations, and yet we might be not in such a still, silent, slowed down place when we come in. So I think this little poem here, The Want of Peace, by Wendell Berry, expresses it nicely, expresses a few of these ideas. He writes, "All goes back to the earth, and so I do not desire pride of excess or power, but the contentments made by men who have had little, the fisherman's silence receiving the river's grace, the gardener's musing on rose. I lack the peace of simple things. I am never wholly in place. I find no peace or grace. We sell the world to buy fire, our way lighted by burning men, and that has bent my mind and made me think of darkness and wish for the dumb life of roots." Of roots, you know, the roots that are sleeping in the earth right now. Now, I don't think this is any kind of nihilistic wish. I think what he's pointing to is the stillness, the silence, the simplicity of all of that, and feeling in the noise of our lives the yearning for that. And it's not easy. So today we're going to be slowing down. That's key. That's key to entering into this day, is the slowing down. And we're going to be practicing in silence. When I first started meditating, I really didn't understand what all this business was about silence. And it just seemed kind of overblown to me. Anywho, I've totally changed on that score, because I've come to appreciate that when we practice in community, we're supporting one another, and yet we're also supporting one another by being silent when we're with one another, so that each of us can go inward and see what's there and develop possibly a little quiet, a little calm within, a little settling. And remembering, with the silence in a meditation hall, it's not just the not talking that you'll be engaged in all day. It's also not reading, not writing. So not getting all caught up in the schedule or the things on the bulletin board or the bookshelves or your phone. So leaving these things behind for a day, because the moment we enter into the reading and the writing, which are wonderful, wonderful things for all of us to do, the moment we enter in that, the mind gets very busy. The heart starts to get busy. The body starts to tense up. And so we want to give ourselves a chance for peace. We want to give peace a chance, yes? Give peace a chance. And the silence really supports that. The other piece around the silence that I really didn't get when I first started practicing in community was all of this no eye contact business. And I initially experienced it as unfriendly. But then I hadn't been given the scoop properly. I arrived at my first full day retreat not having had the instructions. And everybody was in silence and no one was looking at anybody. And it was like, whoa, boy. Anywho, I since learned the incredible power of that modest gaze, that soft downward gaze, taking custody of the eyes so they're soft and downwards throughout the day. And then what we do as we move through the hall on the mindful eating period and coming in and out from our walking is we have our peripheral vision kind of widened so that we can sense one another. Yeah, and so, as I always say, as we move through the hall and the halls, the stairs and so forth, we're like a flock of birds or a school of fish. They're not consulting with one another. Okay, well, you go there and I'll go here and all that kind of stuff. No, they just move together. They sense one another. And so I just really encourage you to just do that sensing in all of those moments where we're moving the chair, setting up for body scan, getting into the postures for mindful movements at any point. Really powerful. It's also important to remember that the moment you speak to somebody with words, the moment you make eye contact with somebody, you've stepped into their silent space. And you're no longer supporting their practice. So just really think of the silence as a gift that we give to ourselves and we give to one another. Very, very powerful. Of course, the exception is that you may look at me, especially during movements, or if you need to signal me that something's happening for you, that you need some assistance, by all means. And when we're out on the walk, you see someone having some kind of difficulty, don't practice stupid silence. Break silence. Take care of one another. Yeah. So when we are out walking, I take the phone with me in case we need to call 911. Never have, but, you know. So I have the bells with me. We just want to be intelligent about this as well. The silence that we'll engage in is also about slowing down. And I think in our culture, there's not a lot of support for slowing down. And you may have people in your lives that are saying, "What are you doing? We're already into the most wonderful time of the year, and we're busy, 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 and you're going to slow down?" So there can be a real lack of support for it. Nia Justice writes, "By slowing down and relishing the unfolding of every experience, you aren't choosing to be less accomplished or productive than others. You're choosing to be accomplished and productive in ways they may not even understand. You're choosing to change what's within your own heart and mind, thereby becoming a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. By no longer rushing through, you're choosing to stop focusing so much of your energy on the wanting and yearning, the wishing it was done, the frustration with what hasn't happened yet, and to make instead the most of every experience as it unfolds at its own pace." So this slowing down that we'll be engaged in today in the silence really places us in the possibility of a place of peace, yeah, that we can indeed pass to others. It also allows us to listen within, to the wholesome voices within and the unwholesome, and make a choice about what we're going to listen to from within. And I really think that this silence is what really makes peace possible. I always think of this in terms of Gandhi. So when he was in the midst of tearing down the British Empire, he decided to go on retreat, as it were, and was mainly in meditation and silence for about 6 weeks, freaking everybody out, because it was like, got to do something. Can't just take down the British Empire by meditating. And then at the end of the 6 weeks, he says, I know what to do. We're going to go make salt. We're going to march to the sea and make salt. And that was possibly the turning point in taking down the British Empire. So, last little reading, and then we'll move into our practices. Can I weave a nest of silence? The Phoebe sits on her nest, hour after hour, day after day, waiting for life to burst out from under her warmth. Can I weave a nest of silence, weave it of listening, 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 layer upon layer? But one must first become small, nothing but a presence, attentive as a nesting bird, proffering no slightest wish toward anything that might happen or be given. Only the warm, faithful waiting contained in one's smallness. Beyond the question, the silence. Before the answer, the silence. So, beautiful poem by May Sarton with excellent meditation instructions around the slowing, the stilling, the silence, and also the opening to things as they are. So that equanimity, and we'll be doing an equanimity practice towards the end of our day here together. All right, I think that's it for now.